Hello and welcome to episode 10 of the show. I'm your host, Endgamer, and of course my co-host, Mr. Ed Bellis, is currently serving a one-week suspension for some rather crude and off-color comments he made regarding Neon Reaper. So we will soldier on, have two very exciting guests. It's moderator week here on the show. And first up, our guest is Team Rocket Elite, better known as TRE.
Hey, everyone.
Good to have one of the greatest Board 8 legends of all time, in my opinion, joining us on the show. TRE, just want to thank you in person one more time for archiving those stats topics for us.
Oh, it's no problem at all.
Out on my website, and of course, just one of many, many things he does for us on the board, and one of the reasons he was one of my user of the year, user of the decade choices for Board 8. And of course, we have another guest on the show, a longtime moderator, not a moderator anymore, but still a great guy and a fun guy to have around on Board 8, Lord of Dabu.
That's me. How's everyone doing tonight?
Dabu, why did you kind of give up your moderator spot? Was that last year that happened?
Yeah, that was probably around a year ago. That was basically because I just got tired of getting emails, essentially.
So was it more the time commitment, or was it just some of the mod drama that goes on all the time?
It was neither. It was just I got tired of getting emails that were password resets. I got tired of deleting them. That's the only reason.
That's the only reason. Okay.
You don't have to have a good reason to quit. You don't have to have a good reason to sign up either.
Of course, you got out just in time. If you'd still be a moderator, you'd be marked with the M, as TRE is now. He can't go into a public board and not get jumped on instantly.
Oh, yeah. I think two or three times some people have came up to me and said that they didn't know I was a moderator before I got the tag on.
And you've only been a mod for, what, 3 years now? Or
3 years, 3 days, I believe.
Wow, almost your mod birthday. All right.
Some of my topics still have it, if they're old, and they were made when I was a moderator, they still have it. Like the one at the top of the StarCraft Brood War board, for example. Very misleading. I don't approve of this.
Anyways, really fun week. This is probably my favorite week of the contest so far, and that's saying a lot because I've really enjoyed this contest. There were three big matches that took place this week, two upsets, and then one match, not exactly an upset, but a very important match. That's the one that's finishing up right now, and that would be our friend, the Pokemon Glitch, better known as Mizno, who is looking to defeat Yoshi. Currently the match is just finishing up, about 40 minutes left, standing at 50.51%. And before we get into discussion, I'd just like to point out my prediction here was 51.47, and Mizno is currently falling slightly. So I got my fingers crossed. Anyways, TRE, you're a big Pokemon fan. What are your thoughts on this? Moving on to face Sephiroth next round.
I have to say that the outlook on Missingno beating Sephiroth isn't too great right now. I expected a larger bandwagon between round one from defeating Chrono to round two against Yoshi, but it doesn't seem like Missingno's getting it, and Sephiroth's an entire tier higher than both Yoshi and Chrono.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And Dabu, you have kind of more of a casual take on this. Of course, me and TRE are big stats guys. But what do you think? A Pokemon glitch beating a Noble Niner, now beating a beloved Nintendo character. Do you have any explanation for us, or how could this be happening?
Well, it shouldn't be happening. It's kind of a tragedy, right? I mean, it's not a real character. That's my opinion. But it doesn't surprise me that it's happening. I think people like having a sense of humor on these character battles. And that's why we see characters like Elblock and Missingno do so well. But I don't think it's going to go that far. I think this is going to be the last round he wins.
Now, do you think when people vote for non-traditional characters like Mizno and Elblock, Dabu, do you think they're just doing it for the lulls? Or do you think some of that is like more solid anti-contest voting, as in we keep having these character battles, the same characters always win, and so I'm going to always support the joke, the oddball kind of character.
I think those voters exist, but I think they're in the minority. I don't think people keep track of the contests that well from year to year.
So it's more just a matter of this joke character shows up, looks ridiculous in the match pick, and so it's going to get some...
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, word gets around and there's this bandwagon effect too, but I think for the most part, at least in these early rounds, it's just pure joke votes and not any kind of anti-contest vote.
Okay, that's a good perspective to have. I think, though, that I disagree with both of you guys in that I think Mizno is going to have a very good shot at Seth. I'd maybe make Seth still a slight favorite, but it just seems to me that when you get a bandwagon going, as Mizno seems to be doing here, you're going to keep on beating characters just by small amounts, and it almost doesn't matter who you're playing at that point. The other big thing... I'm really expecting between the Pokemon and how big the board is into Mizno to really get a big jump on Sephiroth leading into that night match. And, you know, if you can get 200-300 vote lead, then all of a sudden rallies become way more feasible. People see, hey, he's actually got a chance. We can knock out FF7. We can knock out Klinkeroth, a top character. I could definitely see that coming into play. Am I totally off base here, Thierry, or do you think that's still possible?
I think that Nisigno's board vote is being overestimated a bit. It actually lost the initial vote against both Yoshi and Chrono. I mean, Yoshi and Chrono are both on another level compared to Sephiroth, but we're not going to get anything like the 2007 or 2008 finals where the rally character just completely buries another character, even with Sephiroth's absolutely abysmal board vote.
Yeah, that is true. Something that people might not realize if they just got into this match later is that Yoshi had a pretty sizable lead and looked like he was going to take this contest or take the match today. And then he got into a little trouble past the first hour. He was still leading until the afternoon vote started to roll in. And as soon as schools let out on the East Coast, Mizno jumped ahead and has really pulled away to over a 2,000 vote lead now. So that's true. I do think it'll be different with Seth in the match. But yeah, it's definitely a step up. But I do not count Mizno out.
Sephiroth is facing him in the night. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes,
yep.
That's right.
I think that's a huge advantage for Sephiroth.
I'll have to agree with that.
My completely uneducated opinion. But I feel like during the day is the time when a Pokemon character would do really well.
That much is definitely true. The counterpoint I would make is that our night matches get about 20,000 fewer votes than our day matches. And so if you can get a rally going, if you can get a hot streak character like Mizno, it doesn't take as much to stay ahead. Of course, the counter to that is how easily can you rally, you know, in the middle of the night for Americans.
Mm-hmm.
It'd have to rely more on Europeans and Asians getting involved, which they generally don't to the extent that North America does. But moving on, the other really good match that we had this week, one that I just love, probably my favorite match in many years, was Ryu against Dante. Final result there was a 50.35% win for Ryu. Thierry, what did you think about that? Were you as thrilled by that match and how fun that was as I was?
Definitely a fun match. Actually, my guru entry was heavily reliant on the results of that match. I actually would have taken first place had Dante managed to come through for me, but it just didn't happen. And it was also kind of interesting to watch how Ryu versus Dante actually related to the ongoing Olympic hockey game at the time. In the stats topic, we noticed a trend where whenever the hockey game was going on, Dante would rise. During intermissions, Ryu would rise. And after the hockey game finished, Ryu just completely buried Dante.
I thought the whole Ryu-Dante-Leon setup was kind of interesting, just to have all three of those Capcom characters all come together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can make the argument for those three in any order. And I'm a little curious to see how it's going to come out.
Before the contest, most of the gurus would have told you that it was a cool idea in theory, but that in reality Dante was going to easily win He advanced past Leon fairly easily the last 2 years in the four-way contest, and he was a heavy favorite over Ryu. He had 66% of the Guru brackets behind him, and personally, I never really understood why. I mean, we did see this match way back in 2003, and Ryu won fairly easily back when that was debated. I guess people just thought with fighters in general having fallen off that would give Dante the advantage. And I love this match because, unlike, you know, Chrono against Mizuno, this was just an old-fashioned, very close, no huge swings kind of match. Reminded me somewhat of Chrono Trigger against Link to the Past. Thierry, did you kind of get that sense from this match as well?
Well, yeah, like Chrono Trigger versus Link to the Past back in 2004, it was pretty much like an all-day stall, and which is kind of similar to Dante versus Ryu, where Dante was basically trying to hold off Ryu for like 60% of the day before Ryu started to finally put Dante away.
Yeah, I think it could have been a really legendary match, except that Ryu just ran away with it a little bit too much at the end and ended up winning, I believe, by over 500 votes. But if not for his push right at the end, this would have been right up there in the closest wire-to-wire matches, as in the biggest lead either character ever got. The other big upset, and one which I unfortunately did not call in my bracket, even though I thought about it quite a bit, Captain Falcon defeating Riku from Kingdom Hearts with 52.48% of the vote. This is actually an even bigger upset than the Ryu match, according to the Oracle. We had Riku winning with 53% on average. Dabu, from more of a casual perspective, were you thinking Falcon should have been the favorite here?
Yeah, I'm surprised looking at these stats that Riku had 83% backing here. That seems a little ridiculous to me. I have Falcon in my bracket, and I think I thought that was an easy pick. That's a little surprising that it would be so one-sided the other way.
As Dabu just mentioned, only 17% of the Gurus gave Falcon a chance to win, which is actually pretty terrible compared to the more casual viewers like Dabu. I believe Falcon had about 40% of the brackets behind him. So that was definitely some egg on our face. Thierry, maybe you can explain, why did we have so little faith in Captain Falcon?
Captain Falcon, in the past, hasn't had very many good performances. I think he looked kind of good in 2008, but I think a lot of people just wrote that off as a fluke performance. And then, come the early rounds of 2009, Captain Falcon actually didn't meet expectations in blowing out Wander, who should have been turbo fodder. And then comes to meet Riku in round two off a performance like that, and then somehow he pulls it off.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to see. Falcon's been a favorite of mine since back in the original Smash Brothers days. It was always my favorite character. And actually, I underestimated the casual support. I'm looking here now. 47% of the site knew Falcon was going to win, so that was a very bad beatdown of the Gurus by about 30% there. The other big match that took place this week is actually not started yet. It's going to be starting in about 30 minutes here. It's pretty heavily debated on the boards right now. Ness against Big Daddy of Bioshock 2 fame. Dabu, your casual sense led you so well in the Falcon match. Where are you leaning on this one coming right around the corner here?
Well, I wouldn't say it led me very well. I think I just got lucky there. It was actually a fairly close match. But I think Ness is going to take this one.
Is that based on kind of the same reason you took Falcon, just the Smash Brothers vote coming through in the end?
More or less, that's basically what it is. Just Smash Brothers, and I think Ness is more well-known on this website in particular. If it were on a different website, I would probably pick otherwise. But on GameFAQs, I would stick with a Smash Brothers character.
Smash Brothers, and of course, he also has some pretty hardcore Earthbound supporters.
I don't think they're gonna. I don't think that makes a big difference.
Well, they are few in number, but they are strong in dedication. TRE, are you also leaning in Ness's direction for this one coming right up?
To be honest, I'm actually leaning slightly into Big Daddy's direction, very slightly. I thought Big Daddy's performance of 62% on Soap in round one I thought that was pretty good. And Big Daddy also has the advantage of Bioshock 2 just coming out fairly recently, although I guess it's getting almost a month old by now.
This is probably the match that I've waffled on more than any. I had Ness in my bracket and felt fairly good about it. I didn't ever really believe in Call of Duty characters. Big Daddy didn't have a ton of faith in him. And then Big Daddy got that pretty nice win. It seemed everybody was playing Bioshock a couple weeks ago, and so I was pretty impressed. And so I thought, oh, I'll go with him. So I had him in my Oracle. Then at the last second here, I switched back to Ness. And basically it's just, as Dabu mentioned, Smash Brothers fooled me once with Falcon, and I don't want to be fooled again. The other thing I noticed, Bioshock 2 is already down to 23rd in the top 100 FAQs. And it was either one or two during his last match. And, you know, it's only been a few weeks, and it seems to be really tailing off. So I didn't like that. I also don't like his match picture for this one. It's just basically the globe of his face. Kind of hard to recognize, and I think Big Daddy's one of those that really relies on looking like that Bioshock, the box picture. Still should be very close, though, just because if Ness relies even a little bit on Earthbound, it's going to be tough to draw in the European voters with it never actually releasing over there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so those were the four big matches we wanted to hit on. Beyond that, we're going to talk about some stars and turds for the second half of round two. And Thierry, you can start us off. Who was your big star of the round besides the three matches we hit on earlier?
Well, I don't think it can be anyone else except Terra. She had an absolutely fantastic performance against Squall. Back in round one, people were calling for Revan's head when he lost Terra, which I believe was an upset in the Guru contest. But after we saw that performance Terra put up on Squall, it seems Revan was as strong as we thought, and Terra was the one who boosted significantly since last year.
Yeah, that was impressive. I mean, it would be impressive enough just to put up that number, but then, of course, in the Oracle, we were also factoring SFF, we thought Squall is from the what's now considered the bigger Final Fantasy game. 8 was outperformed 6 in the last contest and seemed to be trending that way. And of course, he's the main star. Terra's just part of the party. And so we were calling for about 70% there. So that was a very big underperformance. Dabu, were you leaning somewhere else? Who do you think really impressed you here in round two?
The person who impressed me the most was someone who lost, and that was Vincent. I thought he did very well, considering he was going against someone from his own game who should have been heavily favored. The fact that I think he got something like 38%, well, I think that's pretty impressive.
And yet, that's actually the only one here in the second half of the second round that was farther off than our Squall prediction. Again, you know, second night in a row, we said bigger Final Fantasy character, going to get some same fan base working in his favor. And we had Seth at about 68%. Couldn't even get to 63%, so he missed by nearly 6% there, which was the worst underperformance by a winner. You have to go all the way back to Weighted Companion Cube at the very start of round two. The guy who really impressed me, and kind of weird we're sticking with Final Fantasy here again, I got to go with Cloud. And that sounds kind of weird coming from me. Of course, I've been trying to get the Samus over Cloud bandwagon rolling after he looked so bad in the first round. But he really outperformed my expectations. The thing with Cloud in that match, he got out to his usual bad start, got anti-voted by the board, was down there around 66%. But after that, it was just like old times. He just shot up in percentage throughout the day and ended up right at the 72% mark. Thierry, were you pretty impressed with his showing there as well?
Yeah, I thought Cloud did pretty well against Chris, especially since I think a lot of people were expecting Chris to boost quite a bit from RE5, especially after what Wesker did earlier in the contest.
TRE, for your turd of the round, who really disappointed you here in round two?
Most disappointing performance, I'd have to say, goes to Ject. A 56% on Ratchet was pretty bad. I mean, when you look at what Ratchet did in 2008, he barely outdid Nana. 2007, he lost to Thrall. I expect a bit more out of him, especially since he's an FF10 character. The idea of a Dissidia boost has been thrown around in the stats topic due to Terra, Cecil, and Kefka's performances, but Jax doesn't seem to have benefited that much from it.
Well, maybe it makes sense. The older Final Fantasy characters seem to have done quite well with it, and then the newer guys, I suppose, if you own a PS3, you probably owned a PS2 and played the more recent games. I guess that's kind of the explanation there. I didn't think his performance was that strange. I had him at 58, but it was a low 58 because I said, if Phoenix Wright can put up such a good run on this character, he's clearly, not the next Auron. Or anything like that. So I actually thought Ratchet was going to keep it somewhere in that ballpark. Still a bit of an underperformance. Dabu, where did you go with your turd of round two?
I go with Squall.
Well, like we said, we thought same fan base factor was going to come into play, and it just did not. Which, of course, leads us to the match that everyone is talking about for next round, Squall versus Auron. We had Auron beating Zero, however, he couldn't manage 57%. Was that disappointing to you, TRE, or was that about where you had him pegged there?
I think that was a bit disappointing to me, but after what Megaman did, it's possible that Zero is actually stronger than we thought he was and just had an off year last year. So Auron's performance might not be as bad as it looks initially.
The other thing, Dabu, have you played Mega Man 10 yet? Did you buy that for the Wii?
Yes, I have. I beat it today, actually.
Hey, very nice. But yeah, the weird thing about that is that it was like the perfect timing for Zero with Mega Man 10 being released just earlier that morning before his match with Auron. Even though he's not in Mega Man 10, that was very fortuitous timing for him. Now, personally, my turn of the round has to be that Pikachu match against Commander Shepard. Of course, we always knew this would be possible. Back in 2002-2003, Pikachu performed very badly. We figured he was getting anti-voted for being annoying in the TV show. But it kind of looked like that was past him. And were you surprised that he could still be a victim to that kind of anti-voting, TRE?
I'm not so sure it was anti-votes that led to Pikachu's underperformance. I think Shepard was just being underestimated going into the match, since he also, like Big Daddy, Shepard also had a big game released fairly recently.
Yes, he did, Mass Effect 2. And, of course, that was apparently huge for him, blowing out Ellis last round. And I think that, unlike Big Daddy, Mass Effect 2 seems to have more staying power from what I'm seeing. A lot of people are just finishing up the game now or just have finished it up in the last week here. Dabu, were you a little surprised with how good Pokemon's been doing this year to see probably the biggest Pokemon only at 61% in that match?
I anti-voted him, speaking
of this one. See? Someone does it.
I'm probably the only one who does these days. No, that performance didn't surprise me at all.
The other interesting thing, well, Fox went out and did fairly well on Solid Snake, holding him to only 73% of the vote. And as I mentioned, with Pikachu getting anti-voted back in 2003, Fox killed him in a head-to-head matchup back then. TRE, you know the Pokemon fan base pretty well. Do you think Pikachu's going to be able to outperform Fox's percentage in the direct matchup against Snake next round?
Yeah, definitely. I think Pikachu's come a long way since 2002, 2003, and will be able to outdo what Fox did against Snake.
Even if he only, holds him to the mid-65s, that's still quite a turnaround from getting blown out by Fox to probably outperforming him by a decent bit in that match.
I'm not expecting him to outperform Fox, personally. I think Fox's percentage will be better than Pikachu's.
There's the anti-votes coming into play again, and I kind of think so as well. I would have favored Pikachu to win easily, but I just can't buy that much of Shepard's performance being his own strength. I just think there was something else at play there, and I think he's going to end up closer to Fox than probably most are predicting. All right, in our last episode, we had Sir Chris on, just at the end of the episode, the Samus match started, and Samus was looking great, up at 72-71% against Jill. She ended up losing quite a bit, falling to 67% there. What did you think about that performance, TRE? Do you think it was a little disappointing to lose that much percentage by the end of the day?
Well, I think it's the final percentage that matters the most. I think Samus did quite well against Jill. Once again, going back to the RE5 boost, Jill might be quite a bit stronger than she had been in the past.
All right, the final match was Sub-Zero against Roxas. He won with about 59% of the vote here. Dabu, did you have Sub-Zero being in this position, or did you have Tidus?
Yes, I had Sub-Zero. I think that's an easy pick.
But I had over Tidus last round, would you say that was easy as well?
That wasn't as easy, but I made the choice without really thinking about it. I can see how you could argue against that, but to me, Sub-Zero seemed like the clear choice. I'm a little underwhelmed by how he did on Roxas, actually. I would have thought he would break 60% there.
Yeah, I'll have to agree with that as well. I also expected Sub-Zero to do a bit better on Roxas.
That's kind of surprising me because the Guru consensus was actually under 59, and so he overperformed. But personally, I had Subby at 62 because I thought that Kingdom Hearts had really been exposed in that Dante match where he just destroyed Axel. So I went high on Sub-Zero, and that one bit me. One of a few fairly bad oracles I did submit in the second half here. All right, there's only one match left. The Ness match is just about to kick off. After that comes Tifa against Gordon Freeman. Dabo, did you watch Gordon's run to the championship in the GameSpot contest?
I saw the results. I saw that he won. I thought that was pretty impressive. From what I understand, there was some big outside rallying going on in that GameSpot. Player with the details. But I don't expect that to translate over to GameFAQs.
It was pretty difficult. The thing that made it easy for GameSpot is every match ran for several days. You would have Gordon, like, his big upset was against Snake. And so once it was close, Valve started getting involved, putting links up on Steam and all kinds of stuff. In a 12-hour match, that's pretty much impossible to get the fan base rallied quick enough. TRE, you don't think Gordon has any chance of pulling off a similar miracle against Tifa tomorrow?
That all depends on Valve, really. If they put a link on Steam to the match, well, anything could happen, really. But I wouldn't count on it happening again. This is only a round two match, unlike against Link, which was the semifinals in the GameSpot contest. And GameSpot was also a lot more pro-rallying than GameFAQs has been.
I was delaying just long enough for us to get the early results for you on this Ness match. I'm going to submit my pick for Ness now. And Ness with 55% of the vote in the early going. There's about 600 votes in right now, so hard to say if that's going to hold up. Ness usually does get off to a fairly good start with the board and, of course, his Earthbound backing. Dabu, you mentioned your bracket a little bit. How is it doing this year?
It's not doing all that well. I have 102 points, so I don't know how that fits in the grand scheme of things.
You are currently tied with me, which isn't exactly a pat on the back. I'm staying alive with some of my later picks. I have Bowser, Charizard, Oron winning, which is keeping me alive. But still, that's fairly respectable. Tiri, have you been eliminated yet from the
I'm doing just a bit better than the two of you. My score is currently with after the latest match at 110.
Oh, pretty nice. And you are still alive in the Guru, aren't you?
Currently ranked fifth, in fact.
Whoa! Very nice. So right now... Oh, so you must be on the overall leaderboard. Oh, and there you are, in 35th. Right underneath Toad Yoshi, the destroyer of brackets this year. He's been knocking everybody out of the Guru.
Yep. And if Ness manages to hang on to his small lead, I'll actually eliminate Toad Yoshi after this match.
Oh, wow. Okay, one more quick check, and Ness is still leading. It's down under 53, so it's getting a little bit more dicey. All right, so that wraps it up for this week. We covered all of the round two action. Next week we will be back. Ed will be back from his well-deserved suspension. And we'll discuss all the round three action. A lot of very good matches, a lot of very exciting stuff. So be sure you tune in next week. I'd like to thank my moderator and former moderator friend for coming on the show tonight.
Oh, it was a pleasure. A lot of fun.
Yep, tons of fun.
And with that, this is Endgamer with the show signing off. Join us again next week for round three of the 2010 Stampede.
Waiting for